We woke up to a bright sunny day in the capital city of the United Arab Emirates, Abu Dhabi. We're being housed at the Hilton Hotel, which is ideally located on the vibrant Corniche Road. The Corniche, as it is commonly referred to, forms a sweeping curve on the western side of the main Abu Dhabi island and is replete with cycle paths, fountains and park areas. From my room window, I have stunning views of the turquoise water of the Arabian Gulf. In 2 weeks' time, the Gulf will come alive with the splashing water of boats taking part in the ISAF Sailing World Cup. At around mid-morning, we were transported to the summit. The summit was abuzz with all exhibitors, tour operators and visitors networking. And that is really what the summit is all about. Several interesting presentations were made in the seminar hall. Well-known travel blogger Ilana Nikolova was a panelist in a discussion on destination marketing, social media and creating routes to markets. Ilana is the creator of MuslimTravelGirl.com, a leading Muslim travel blog inspiring Muslims to travel the world in style without breaking the bank. I had the opportunity to interact with Nabil Sharif, who is the director of Serendipity TaylorMade. He made 2 interesting presentations on positioning your brand to the Muslim traveler and luxury halal travel. What do customers really want? Nabil has been in the tourism industry for the last 15 years and he is looking forward to the industry growing multifold in the coming years. Many of the listeners may be familiar with the online service Hadith of the Day. Hadith of the Day is this official social media partner for the World Halal Travel Summit and Exhibition. Hadith of the Day is a UK-based organization that was set up to inspire Muslims around the world. They have 7 million members worldwide on various platforms, which include Facebook, Twitter, Google Apps, emails, etc. Some senior members from Hadith of the Day were present at the summit. The most interesting part of the summit was to interact with exhibitors from various countries, ranging from Indonesia and Malaysia all the way to Kenya and Tanzania. This evening there will be the awards for the halal travel industry, and there is a South African travel operator, Centurion Travels in Cape Town, that has been nominated for an award. We wish the travel operator all the best for the awards, and we look forward to bringing you the results in our next report. Yusuf Musaji for Radio Islam from the World Halal Tourism Summit in Abu Dhabi. We continue with our coverage from the World Muslim Travel Summit, and I have an interesting guest with me, Ilana Nikolova, who is famous for her blog, themuslimtravelgirl.com. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
I've just listened to your presentation and the contributions that you've made. They were really thought-provoking and also gave great insight into your own experiences of travel.
Yeah, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. It's been a great pleasure to be here and present with the fellow panel. I think halal travel, Muslim-friendly travel, it's an amazing opportunity for anyone from a business perspective and from a tourism perspective as travelers.
What degree of awareness and what degree of knowledge do the greater population of the world have, and those in the halal travel segment have, of exactly what the concept of halal travel is?
From a tourist perspective, as a traveler, I think everybody knows what they need as a Muslim: halal, halal food, halal mosques to pray. There are opportunities there for the industry to develop more of those facilities for us, not only in Muslim countries but also non-Muslim countries, to facilitate so we can actually expand greater, because it's a fast-growing niche.
There have been previous halal summits like these. However, this is the first one in Abu Dhabi. There has been Malaysia and also in Turkey. What are your thoughts about opportunities like this? What really comes from this type of a summit?
I think food for thought is very important. Making relationship is very important because we are a growing market. Many people are doing amazing things that we don't know about. So these summits in different parts of the world actually connect us together. So it's a common ground. It's one, you know, it's halal travel, it's Muslim travel. Working together will only make us stronger. So these events, I personally love them because they give you energy that we are on the right track of doing something for everybody, for all the Muslims around the world to travel. And being in Malaysia or in the UK, we just get different perspectives.
You have also your personal blog where you write about your own travels. This has been really popular across the globe. Do you think more people should be doing this? Is there an opportunity for a greater market in that?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm not the only Muslim traveler in the whole world. It's just that blogging does take time. So if somebody wants to start a blog and has the time and is consistent, then definitely do it and get in touch. I'm more than happy to help.
What's your personal favorite as a halal destination?
Oh, you're asking the same question. I think that's the hardest question to answer. I have been to several countries, but Abu Dhabi will be my number one because it's a Muslim-friendly destination. It's not as busy as Dubai, for example. They have great, amazing beaches. They have female-only beaches for women. And you have brilliant, beautiful resorts and food and the Grand Mosque.
What's your message to listeners in South Africa?
Please invite me to South Africa, number one. And number two, do travel. It doesn't matter where you are. Even if you get out of your own city, it's still traveling. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created this world for us to experience. He created us into tribes and nations, so we get to know one another. So travel to discover what He's created for us. Every time I travel, I see all the beauty that He's created, and it actually humbles you so much.
How many countries have you visited?
I haven't counted them. I think they're 20 plus, so I'm not really sure, but I should keep track of them. They're on my blog.
We will continue inviting our listeners to read the blog. It's really, really interesting. All the best for the remaining part of your stay in Abu Dhabi. And we look forward to chatting to you further when we get back to South Africa, a more lengthy discussion on your blog and your travels.
Thank you so much. I'm looking forward to that.
Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam.
We continue interviewing role players and individuals from the World Halal Travel Summit in Abu Dhabi. And I'm honored to have with me one of the presenters. In fact, he has made two presentations and there's still a third one to come. Nabil Sharif, director of Serendipity TaylorMade. And he's from the United Kingdom. Nabil, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam.
You've made a number of presentations and very professionally presented and also very well researched.
Thank you very much. We've been in the halal industry since the very beginning, since the leisure sector of the halal market has evolved. And our aim here is not to drive business for our business and, you know, get more and more clients on board. We're here to raise awareness in the halal market. That's our ultimate goal. We're here to speak to hoteliers, we're here to speak to local ground handlers, to national organizations, to encourage them to embrace the Muslim traveler. We need that right now. We're at that position where we are growing, and the stakeholders in the industry need to speak up, and we need to be able to convince a lot of these stakeholders in the industry that we are a very, very viable currency. We have a lot going for us, and we want to travel.
Is it all about increasing the market so that more money is made, or is there a genuine concern about serving the interest of Muslim travelers?
Well, nobody is in business to do it for free. You know, everybody, there is a commercial element to everything. Otherwise, if there isn't a commercial element, then we cannot grow this industry. But as a traveler, I'm a traveler at heart. I've traveled since I was a very young child. Alhamdulillah, I've been very, very lucky. I've been very blessed in that respect. And travel does encourage Muslims to see the world. They encourage them to solve a lot of the problems that we have in our world right now. And raising awareness is definitely something we need to do. We need to provide a solution for Muslims. You know, Muslims like to travel. We are born travelers. In our past, in our history, we are born travelers. And if we don't provide Muslims with the opportunities and the facilities to do that, then we're not going to be travelers. We're going to be very insular. We're going to be very close-minded. And that's something that is a danger for our future generations. So we need to lay those baselines now. And if we don't do that, you know, who knows where the future's going to end up. But every effort we make right now to encourage Muslims to travel, where they can find places to pray, where they can find halal food, where they are comfortable, whether it is for leisure, whether it is for charity work, whether it's for business, we want to make those strides.
You spoke about the fact that you've been involved in the industry from its very inception. How old is the halal industry in a formalized sense?
In terms of the leisure industry, I believe it's only about 5 or 6 years old. Obviously, Hajj and Umrah and the pilgrimage side is a very different element. We don't mix leisure and your pilgrimage. Your pilgrimage is your soul. We never say, don't go for Hajj, go for a holiday, because it's completely different things. You should never, ever, ever mix the two. Those that have the ability to go for Hajj and Umrah, that is your personal choice and your personal ambition. On top of that, you know, there are other places that you can travel to, whether it's Masjid al-Aqsa, whether it's going to some of the Islamic sites in Jordan or in Morocco and seeing the Islamic heritage. This is part of our history. You know, if we don't know about this now, we will lose it, and our future generations will lose it as well. So we see a very different line and a very specific line between Hajj, Umrah, pilgrimage and leisure. So leisure, I believe, has only been around for about 5 or 6 years. Obviously, pilgrimage has been around for 1400 years, so the modern version of that is certainly a different market.
In terms of from the United Kingdom, are Muslims in the United Kingdom traveling a lot? Do they travel within the United Kingdom and to different parts of Europe? What are the most popular destinations for the Muslims from that part of the world?
In Europe, we are lucky to have a lot of connections. With the evolution of low-cost carriers, going into Europe has been cheaper than ever before. Even flying into the Middle East is now very, very cost-effective. So European destinations, we feel, have a lot to develop in terms of halal-friendly services. Within the UK, I'd love to see more Muslims traveling within the UK, and we do have a lot of questions now and again. You know, are there any halal cottages or, you know, any Muslim-owned B&Bs, you know, around, and there are. There's not many, but there are. And, you know, the UK is a great place to visit. Not only London, but going south to the south coast, to some beautiful coastlines. And we don't know it. I'm guilty of it. I don't travel in the UK enough, and I should. But when we're looking at a more global scale, the lower cost of getting from place to place now is the cheapest we've ever been able to fly. Now we need to look at the hoteliers. We need to look at what there is to do in those places. One of my favorite places is Italy. I love going to Florence, but I struggle to find halal food. And if I do, I'm not going to find Italian halal food. I want to experience Italian halal food. I don't want to have, you know, a kebab and roti when I arrive. You know, I can get that at home. You know, I want to experience Italian gelato or pizza, but I want to make sure that I know, you know, it's prepared and it's sourced in a halal way.
In terms of the summit of this nature, we know that there has been maybe two or three before this, Malaysia, and I think this one coming up in Turkey. Is this a step in a certain direction, and has it achieved its objectives? What are some of the objectives that perhaps would come from a summit of this nature?
Yes, there have been a couple of examples beforehand, and I think that they all have their own benefits, and they've all made strides into raising the awareness of the halal-friendly travel sector. The key is, though, is we need to invite non-Muslim brands to come along, because that's where the growth is. The growth is in not only Muslim brands, but non-Muslim brands as well. But that's where they have the power to create good PR, to create good vibes, and really promote the fact that the Muslim traveler is a very important part of the market. Another benefit for them is the fact that there hasn't been a new market for many years.
One of your presentations that will still be coming up later today is, what does the Muslim traveler really want? And if you have to sum it up in maybe 30 seconds, how would you describe that?
Well, the Muslim traveler is an individual. They are like every other traveler that we have in the market. Muslim travelers want to feel comfortable, and one of my points is that one person's luxury is another person's convenience, and that's so true for Muslims, because if you find somewhere that is comfortable, that is where you want to be home, that is where you want to go to, that is where you want to explore. So let's make Muslims comfortable when they travel, and see how the market goes from there.
Jazakallah khair. Thank you very much for your time. Nabil, all the best for your remaining presentations. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.